I don't know if I'm covered in this state. It's a different mentality, man. When you get in a fight when you're in your early 20s, it's a different thing going through your head, right? How old are you? 21. You can tell you're 21 because you have that 21-year-old, the puffiness that happens, right? But when you get in a fight when you're in your early 20s, this guy's age, all you're thinking is, all right, I'm gonna crush this guy, sleep with her, and maybe get a burrito. It like doesn't, right? It doesn't throw off the rest of your evening. My age and about to get in a fight, the only thing I'm thinking is, all right, what's my deductible? I don't know if I'm covered in this state.
And good morning on Eclipse Morning, a Monday morning. Glad you can join us here. And don't forget the eclipse, it begins. We have 91% coverage here in the Racine, Southeast Wisconsin area. It begins at 12:52 p.m. Then the main event kicks in at 2:08 p.m. and it all ends at 3:22 p.m. Then you got to wait another 20 years. So if you come up from your nap and go, oh, I was napping, I missed the whole thing. Well, you got 20 more years and you can do it all over again. Hope you won't be napping back then. All right, for today, sunny with a high near 63. Going to be beautiful viewing weather for the eclipse. I stepped out a little while ago and I saw the sun out there. And I kept thinking, in just a few hours from now, the world will be watching. Sunny with a high near 63. Partly cloudy tonight, lows 45. Sunny again tomorrow, highs near 57. It's gorgeous. Sunny and 42 degrees now in Racine. Don't forget baseball tonight. It's the Brewers against the Cincinnati Reds in Cincinnati, 5:05 p.m. here on WRJN Radio. And by the way, if you have a question for my next guest, you can text me at 262-300-7445. That's 262-300-7445, or go to the Civic Media app, download it, and just go to WRJN and text me that way. 262-300-7445. And my guest is Mike Beno, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Every 2 months, I can't wait. I look at the mail and it's there. And I just got my latest issue of Our Wisconsin Magazine. It's a two-monther. And this one is April through May. And Mike, thanks for joining us again. Do appreciate it.
Hey, Don, always great to be here. Thanks for having me on again.
Now, for people that aren't familiar with Our Wisconsin Magazine, we've talked many times, but people come in and out. They don't hear everything. How did it all get started, and when did it get started?
Well, it's the magazine's 12 years old. It celebrates all that's great in the Badger State, and we try to do that with bright, brilliant color, vivid photography on high-quality paper. You don't find very many of these magazines like this anymore, but we think that there's maybe an opportunity in that little bit of rarity. And so we've been fortunate enough to gain about 100,000 subscribers over our 12 years. It was launched off the kitchen table in rustic Presque Isle, Wisconsin, way up where the wood ticks are, right up against Upper Michigan. I'm not a youper, but I can see them from here. We're in the North Woods where the muskies are. And we put out this little magazine up here in our small office with a Labrador at my feet, and we depend on the readers themselves to send us their stories about what makes their corner of Wisconsin the coolest place to live. It's 100% positive. There's more than enough negativity in the world, so we try to be the antidote to all that, and seems to be working.
And we've been subscribing, I think, since, I think it's issue number one. Because our neighbor, he was in his 90s, and we brought all our issues over to him, and he was reading them, all the Our Wisconsin. So we had issue number one, and so we brought them all over. And he, you know what? I think I could tell you where we fell in love with Our Wisconsin magazine. We were at some kind of, I know it wasn't a fair, was it in Greendale, Wisconsin? It was somewhere. It was some kind of fair or some kind of event, and there was somebody there selling the magazine, and I think that's where we got our very first issue, and then we subscribed. But it's a great magazine, and we look forward to it. My wife used to read me the articles from because it's so much better when you can sit back and close your eyes and somebody's reading to you. But let's talk about, she does. She reads me books and everything. Not that I can't read them. I can read them if I wanted to. But she's an excellent reader. And so we're reading a book now written by Carol Gianforte, who is from Racine. And she wrote about her neighbor, her neighborhood growing up in this street, Carlisle Avenue in Racine. And she wrote this book. And we're reading it. Now, I didn't grow up here in Wisconsin. But she's reading it, and there was a sad part. I'm crying. Tears are coming down my face. That's how well it's written. So it's a local author writing a local book about a street that's not far from my house. And Carol now, she's up there in age. I think she's a little older than I am. But it was nice to hear her reminisce, and we could all relate to growing up in a house with neighbors and different stories. And anyway, so I want to talk about some of these articles in here. You wanted to talk about the Tupperware lady first. I want to talk about the Frank Lloyd Wright story. Let's start with the Tupperware lady who's been collecting Tupperware since 1960, selling it, actually. And I was trying to do the math here, so let me figure. What the year is 1924, 224 now, 2024, 1960. Hold on, let me do some math here. Carry the two. Subtract the four from the, you got to make that 0, 10. So I think it's 64.
Carry the one.
Yeah, carry the one. Make it a 0, make it a 10. I'm trying to do the math here. So quickly I can figure it out. It's 1960, 40, 64 years. Am I right?
You are right. And that's a whole lot of Tupperware to burp.
yes.
Georgine Mulder, this is wonderful. She's 88 years old and in Waupun, okay. And long about 1960, she was living in Fond du Lac County out in the country. And she and her husband, Junior, had four young children. And as she put it at that time, they were swimming in doctor bills, and she was looking for a way to supplement to make ends meet, to bring in just a little bit more money by the month. And she talked to the Tupperware had just come out. Wonderful stuff. It's indestructible. It lasts forever, and it really works. It was invented by a man named Tupper who made these plastic containers based on the lids of paint cans. That will, you hit them with a hammer and seal them down. You know, they have that curved up sort of a slot that goes around the circumference of the can, seals tight and wonderfully. That's what he based this product on, in all different colors, shapes, and sizes. And everybody in the country has to have some of this in the drawers in their kitchen. So she decided she was going to do that and asked the local rep, do you think I could do this, have a Tupperware home party? And the person said, with these four children, with their medical problems, you probably have enough on your plate. I don't think you should. Well, Georgine was not to be deterred, and she went above this person's pay grade, went straight to Tupperware Corporate in Florida, and they said, absolutely, you should do this. And they were right, because she held her first party back in 1960. She's been at it, you know, going on 64 years. She's held 6,300 parties over her career. That is a record. She's the longest tenured Tupperware rep in the country, and her footprints are immortalized in concrete in the Tupperware Walk of Fame. Now, we have a celebrity like this living here among us. I mean, how can you beat that? a new company car every other year. She got 24 company cars.
Whoa.
She had a station wagon.
Whoa.
In the 70s. She won. She earned her bedroom set, a grandfather clock, a kitchen table with chairs. There we are. We've got a bona fide record holder right here living amongst us, and she's a great grandmother, and you gotta love her. We heard about this story when one of the people who's written for us in the past heard about it, and he just said, "This story has our Wisconsin written all over it. Get over there and see Georgine, the Tupperware queen."
That was going to be one of my questions. How did you find her? And it's just somebody told you.
Yes, and we live on story tips here. I mean, we look for unusual things people are doing. This is really a magazine about people. The cover says Wisconsin, that's a place. But really, it's about the people here. The best stories in this state live in the minds, in the hearts of its people. So, yes, if any listeners out there want to ship us a tip, we can give the phone number or the our email here, and have people pass that along. That's where most of our stories come from.
Okay, what is the phone number? Is it the same phone number I called you at?
No. Yeah, the phone number to give us a tip here at the station,
the
sure,
tip line,
would be
yeah.
the station. I'm not in radio anymore. Here in our editorial office, the number is 715-543-2312. That's Story Ideas.
Yeah, that's the same number, yeah. Okay.
We have another number we can give later if someone wants to subscribe to. So
that tip line, this is on like Crime Stoppers. It's the tip line.
Yep.
you'll remain anonymous. Nope. They'll give you a code. Where is this Walk of Fame, by the way? Before we take a break here, where's the Walk of Fame?
I believe it's in Florida.
Really? Okay, so you got a trip to Florida out of the deal, too.
There you are.
Wow.
Don't forget to pack your food in the Tupperware for the trip.
I got some more questions about this when we get back. Plus, we're going to talk about Frank Lloyd Wright and some other issues. Other stories in the issue. There are no issues.
From
the
this magazine. Issue.
Yeah, this is a great issue. Looking through it last night. And I said, wow, I got to read all these stories. Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, my guest this morning at 719 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. WRJN talking to Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. We're talking about the Tupperware lady. I just had a couple of questions here about, you find these photos, I guess she gave you the photos, but you're looking back in history of the photos. Is that the station wagon? She got the free station wagon I'm looking at?
That's one of them. So you're looking at 79 Pontiac was given to her in October of 78. She's there with her family. She's got the fake wood on the side of the station wagon.
The fake wood.
Vintage stuff.
Look at the size of that boat. Holy mackerel. It's huge. You know, we don't realize how big cars were back, even in the 70s, compared to what we have now, because they're all streamlined for gas mileage. But look at the size of that monster. Whoa.
That's you go to take a turn in that thing, and you're going to be spinning the wheel for a while.
And there's something I remember, but they don't have it anymore. License plates weren't in the center. I remember gas used to fill up the gas behind the rear license plate, too. Remember that? You used to pull down the rear plate, put the gas in there.
Spring on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you got that license plate off to the right there. Wow. And that's her young family, then her little older family. And now look at her, 88 years old and looking good at 88. I got news for you. I got news for you. She looks pretty good. Well, that's the Tupperware lady. I want to talk about... let's talk about the frogs here first. There was an invasion of frogs in El Canto. How did that happen? What was that all about?
In 1952, the great frog invasion that took over El Canto. Now, El Canto is a small town on the west shore of Green Bay, the arm of Lake Michigan, of course, in between Green Bay and Marinette. And population in 1952 was about 5,000 souls there. El Canto was famous for the Bond Pickle Company through the years. One spring, the town of 5,000 was visited by 1.75 million green leopard frogs. What happened was frogs hatch out every year in the spring. We hear them singing the various chorus from smaller ones on up to the larger ones. And this year, for some reason, the conditions of the water level of the Bay of Green Bay were such that the frog eggs that these amphibians laid in those shallow marshes were nurtured perfectly. Sometimes when the water levels fall from the spring, a great number of these eggs won't make it. And that's why these species lay so many, because a few will hatch out. This year, all of them hatched out, and they all headed for El Canto. And they came crawling, hopping into town merrily, and the people would wake up in the morning and find their window wells to the windows of their basements filled with happy frogs. They'd take bucket loads of them out of there. Kids were catching them and selling them for frog legs, but something tells me that the market was so glutted they weren't getting very much. The New Yorker magazine dispatched somebody to come and report on this, and they were talking about people unable to mow their lawns because in 2 days, 175 million frogs crawled into that town. We have a person here, Cynthia Patterson from Ocano County. She lives there, and she told us about this. We looked it up. Yeah, it did happen. But what was cool was she walked around town and found people that lived through this in 1952 and got their takes on it. One fella said, "We couldn't move our old DeSoto out of the garage because we would have run over so many frogs we would have had to clean our floor for Lord knows how long." So, I guess the onslaught, the amphibious invasion, dwindled as fast as it came. But since 1952, nobody has forgotten 175 million frogs.
Sounds like their version of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. That's what it sounds like. Now, are there any photographs of this? Do they exist?
We checked online. We have not seen any photos of it. We did a lot of digging. There's plenty of newspaper clippings from around then corroborating this.
Yeah.
We relied on an artist to do some happy frogs for us in the magazine.
They look good. Yeah, they look great.
Cheerful fellows.
Boy, that's, you know, I talked to you off the air about the worms. After it rains, all these worms come out, and you can hardly walk on the sidewalk because there are worms everywhere. Imagine frogs, ribbit, 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 all over the place. Imagine what that sounded like at night, ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. Oh,
it had to be deafening.
It's like a horror story. It's like a horror movie. This is what the 1980s horror movie would be like. And there was a movie called Frogs, by the way, back in the 80s. This is, or late 70s. This is what it's like. This is scary. And all of a sudden, they hatched. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Was it in that movie, was it in an invasion of overwhelming number of amphibians?
Well, I'll tell you right now. Hold on a second here. I probably got it. I'll tell you all about the movie. It was called Frogs. It came out in 1972 with a big cast. Ray Milland, Academy Award-winning actor. A group of helpless victims celebrate a birthday on an island estate crawling with killer frogs. And the poster of it shows a frog with a human hand coming out of his mouth.
Go ahead. Partially based on this story.
Yeah, Ray Milland, Sam Elliott, big cast in this film. Joan Van Ark. Wow. Big cast, Frogs. Maybe it's partially based on what happened with you guys. It only came out, 20 years later.
Okay.
Wow. Well. See, you never know what you're going to open up when you open up our Wisconsin magazine. This is the stuff nightmares are made out of. Coming up in just a moment here, we're going to talk about Frank Lloyd Wright. And the last remaining commercial building is right here in Racine. It's S.E. Johnson. I try to get the people on the air to talk about it, but they always say we're too busy. They're very closed-mouthed about it. I don't know why. Well, maybe we got the wrong person there, but we'll find out. We'll get them on the air. But we'll talk about it in just a moment here, plus something that happened at Taliesin, which was Frank Lloyd Wright's home in Spring Green. We're going to talk about that coming up as well. That's kind of a horror story in itself. It's all happening here at WRJ, and Mike Bino, who is our guest, is the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. More coming up, 729. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station on Eclipse Monday.
Got on board a westbound 747. Didn't think before deciding what to do. All that talk of opportunity, TV breaks and movies.
It's 7:35 at WRJN. I'm Don Rosen. Mike Bino, our guest from Our Wisconsin Magazine. More with Mike in just a moment. First, news headlines from Stuart J. Wattles. He's in our news center, keeping an eye on everything for us this morning. At this point, a flood warning will last all week for the Fox River in Kenosha County. The river near New Munster is under warning until early Saturday morning. There's still minor flooding happening around some homes in the town of Wheatland and the village of Salem Lakes. The river is expected to fall below flood stage by Friday night, with water levels continuing to recede until Sunday evening. The river is still about a foot and a half above the 11-foot flood stage. Well, it was the first bomb threat for Costco when a bank robbery at the Chase Manhattan Bank branch took effect. Pleasant Prairie Police investigating what happened to see if there's a connection. There's a search still underway for a suspect. The Costco was cleared out Saturday afternoon. Nothing was found. A short time later, the Chase branch in the village on 39th Avenue was robbed. An image of the masked suspect has been posted online. The Waukegan City Clerk has pleaded not guilty to more than a dozen felony counts. Janet Kilkenny was in court last week on charges including official misconduct and misapplication of funds. It's alleged she issued liquor and gaming license credits to businesses that were ineligible to receive them. The case remains under investigation. Kilkenny is free on bond. She's being allowed to remain on the job. And our area is the best in the state to witness the eclipse today. The path of totality is a little further south, but we're still in a good area to watch a good show, 91% for that matter. There might be some cloud cover in the northern part of the region, but folks closer to the state line will likely have a clear shot at it. Things will happen about midway with a peak around 2 p.m. this afternoon. Experts at once reminding people not to look directly at the sun without proper eye protection. Again, those times are, it begins at 12:52 p.m. The main event kicks in at 2:08 p.m. and then it all ends at 3:22 p.m. Those are the stories we're keeping an eye on today. Stuart J. Wattles in our news center. Mike Bino here. You know, robberies take effect now during daytime because the banks are so secure. You can't rob banks at night anymore like they show in the old movies with James Cagney and Humphrey Bogart. They're always robbing banks at night. Can't do that anymore. They have to do it in the daytime because the banks are so super secure they can't do it. So it's a shame, but that's what they do. I was dating somebody once who was at a bank giving her deposits. All of a sudden, the shade came down, and she said, hey, you got my money. I didn't get a receipt yet. She's banging on the window. What she didn't know was the shade came down at the drive-thru because the bank was being robbed inside, and she didn't know it at the time. And then the place was swarming with police, and they gave her change and receipt, and she went on her way. But wow. That's scary when you're in the middle of a bank robbery. But we're talking about happier things now. We're going to talk about something that's not so happy in just a moment. You did an article here, Right at Home, spelled W-R-I-G-H-T, Frank Lloyd Wright. We're loaded in this state with some great Frank Lloyd Wright designs. I have one just a few blocks from my house on Main Street in Racine. It's on South Main Street. We've been touring the home. And every morning, every single morning, I pass S.C. Johnson in Racine, a Frank Lloyd Wright designed structure. But tell us about the article on Frank Lloyd Wright.
Well, absolutely a treasure in the state of Wisconsin, of course. Frank Lloyd Wright is one of the most celebrated artists in the world, certainly the most celebrated architect, also an artist, architect in the United States. More than 60 buildings that Wright designed and constructed in the state of Wisconsin, 43 of them still exist today. I'm going to jump from the history here to just a little bit of Frank Lloyd Wright news more recent. If you're driving along highways 94 between Madison and Milwaukee, you may see some signs that are talking about the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail. Now, this is something your listeners can take part in. It's a self-guided tour, 200 miles long, running from Racine in the southeast to Richland Center in the west. Okay, you're going to see some of these buildings I just talked about. They've got 9 sites. And among them are the S.C. Johnson Conference Center in Racine. There's a couple of homes that Wright has designed in Milwaukee. There's the Monona Terrace and Community Convention Center in Madison, right on Lake Monona. There's a school in Spring Green and a warehouse in Richland Center. So this is a self-guided tour, and there. Information on this is at franklloydwrighttrail.org, but there is a list of these different places, how you can get to them, and many of them can be toured inside. And it's a wonderful, this portion of the state we're talking about, from Racine on out to Richland Center, it takes you from the flatter area around the Great Lakes Basin, okay, Racine's there on Lake Michigan, but it takes you out into the Driftless region where the glaciers never reached. So the ridge country out there is just fantastic and beautiful. And Taliesin, okay, was built into this landscape, this beautiful driftless region that does not look, three quarters of the state does not look like this with these ridges. And what Frank Lloyd Wright said was, he was a world traveler, he worked in Chicago, and he's talking about Spring Green and the driftless area, and he said, every time I come here, it is with the feeling there is nothing anywhere better than this. More dramatic elsewhere, perhaps more strange, more thrilling, but nothing that picks you up in its arms and so gently, almost lovingly, cradles you as do these southwestern Wisconsin hills. That's where Taliesin is, the home he built in 1911.
You know, they on the documentary I saw on Taliesin, he didn't think about this, but when he built it, he wanted the home to be part of nature, to work with nature. And unfortunately, it ruined part of the building. That the building materials that he used didn't quite mesh with nature. I mean, the design was one thing, but the actual materials didn't work out well, and part of it had to be rebuilt. But let's talk real briefly here about the history of Taliesin. It burned down a couple of times, and I don't know the year, but at the time there was a scandal because Frank Lloyd Wright had a mistress, and he moved her into Taliesin with her two kids. And he had people working there, draftspeople working on designs and so forth. And he let this gentleman go, him and his wife. He was from Jamaica, and him and his wife were let go for whatever reason. I don't know what it was, but he didn't take it well. And he
Go ahead. Taliesin, it was melded into the hills out there. It means shining brow in Welsh. And he tried to build the house, again, in harmony with natural surroundings. A lot of lights, low-slung buildings. It kind of projects out from the hills there. It was built in 1911, so it was struck by fires twice, one in 1914 and another in 25. And each time, Wright rebuilt. The story you're talking about, I believe, was with this second fire. That one was set by a disgruntled employee who I think was being told to leave.
Right.
And, yes, he set it to fire and caused some mayhem. There's some murdering going on.
Hey, massacred people with a machete. Just killed all the workers and killed the children and the mistress. He went crazy. It's a horrible story to hear, but I never knew this happened until a few months ago when I was watching a documentary on it.
That did happen, and it says something that they recovered from that and rebuilt, and now this beautiful compound is like 800 acres worth, and it celebrates the good things that happened in this guy's life, which was all this architecture all over the United States.
You know, I went to the home here on Main Street. We had a parade of homes, and that was one of the homes. So you get to go into the Frank Lloyd Wright house. Now, I'm 6'3", and it wasn't comfortable with me to walk around that house. The ceilings were not that high. There were some very high ceilings, but walking through, you know, you had to watch out that you don't hit your head on stuff. But, you know, the people, my wife is 5 foot something, so she had no problem. But if you're over 6 feet tall, I noticed the house was kind of small on the inside. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's right on
these
the lake.
Homes, yeah. These homes are, these buildings are rather interesting. From the outside, they look like nothing else that's around them in some of these residential neighborhoods, the Burnham Block in Milwaukee, for example. Yes, flat roofs. In this country, that's asking for leaks. And I've heard that there is some maintenance issues with homes constructed in this way. But they're flat to match the horizon. When we're talking about low ceilings, they were built at another time when people in general were maybe just a little bit shorter than they are today. It's interesting when you go to see some of these Civil War era barracks and things like that, how short the beds are. Yeah, you're a modern man. You're tall.
By the way, my feet do hang off my bed at home because beds are only, unless you get a king-size bed, they're only 6 feet long. Beds, and when you're 6'3", 6'4", your feet tend to hang off. People say, "Why can't you scrunch out?" I said, "I like to stretch out every once in a while, but my feet hang off the bed." When I passed by the S.C. Johnson compound there, the Frank Lloyd, where all the buildings were built by Frank Lloyd Wright, designed by him, they have a glass tower there with lights on it, which was refurbished not too long ago, and is lit up in the morning when I come in. Now I come in here about. I pass there about 20 after 5 in the morning, and it's dark out. And I still marvel at that place every time I pass by. And I'm just right in front of it, 16th Street. So I want to talk about your Gateway picture. And I was looking at it. Where is that picture? Where is that taken? This is the gatefold.
The gatefold. You are looking at, from a drone perspective, you're looking at the Mississippi River, okay? And the Great River Road, Highway 35 in Wisconsin, runs along the Mississippi. This one is showing the bluffs, and there is wooded hills and bluffs near Trempealeau. Perro State Park is in the distance, and Bodega Point. So this is the upper Mississippi. There's islands, of course, in the middle of the Mississippi River. And from the Wisconsin side, up on the there's very sheer bluffs along this is one of the most pleasant drives in the state. And from up high, you can look on over into Minnesota and see the land flattening out. But Wisconsin is very blessed to have all this water. Now, you're in Racine, and what can we say about Lake Michigan?
I mean, from there
all the way up to Door County, yeah. Gorgeous along the Niagara Escarpment running up along that side of the lake. You get over to the other side of the state, you know, we've got the West Coast with the Mississippi River. Interestingly, that's Norwegian country over there, and the folks on that end of the state speak a little bit differently than the people on the east side along the lake. I'm kind of from there, and we have long vowels in our intonation. Not so much, and they say oofta over in the west. Just briefly, having grown up in Green Bay and moved away, I was in the Chicago area. Someone said, "You sound like a youper," and I said, "What? Huh? What youper sound? What normal? I mean, what are you talking about with this? I don't have an accent." It took me 7 years of living away in Wisconsin Chicago, when they were talking about hot dogs and the White Sox, and I'm on my way back to Green Bay, and I tuned in a station.
Hold that thought, Mike. We're going to continue right at that thought in just a moment here at WRJN.
I'll do it.
Hometown Radio Refreshed. Hold it there. It's 7:51 at WRJN Radio. Just want to remind people, if you missed any part of our talk with Mike Bino, you can always check out our podcasts. They're on the Civic Media app. They're at WRJN.com. They're also available on your Apple podcast. You can always go to Apple and just type in Don Rosen Show, and all the podcasts will come up on Apple. You can go to Spotify. Just type in Don Rosen Show. They all show up. You can go to YouTube. You can go to Google Podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, just type in Don Rosen Show. And today's will show up around 10 o'clock this morning, because it takes about an hour or two to get up there and you'll be able to hear us talking to Mike Bino once again. It stays there forever. Mike was talking about his accent. That was...
We don't have any.
Yeah, I know.
It took me 7 years of living away before I finally understood what people had been telling me for years. I was heading north in the 80s, heading north on Highway 43, and I tuned in a radio station, and I heard the announcer come on and say something like this: "Welcome to WAUN in Algoma, where we have the Coho Report." Long vowels, and I thought, "My goodness, that's me."
Well, you actually have a story in here about a Polish woman who has her own radio station, and it's very, very local. I mean, it's out of her basement or wherever, out of her storefront, wherever she is. But she actually has, it's on page 8, in case you're looking for it. But, you know,
yes.
Whenever I hear a radio story, I, you know, like a magnet, I go to it. And so she has her own Polish language program, which we used to have here. We used to have German language programming. This is back in the day of WRJN. Back in the 40s and 50s, they had foreign language programming here. They had, when I was here, my first go-round, we had Serbian language programming. Then they had German language program, Polish language program, you name it. They had it because, you know, people from the old country wanted to hear their radio shows in their own language. And it's still popular today at different areas, not here, but we still have radio stations broadcasting in foreign language. My first radio station I ever got a job at was a rock and roll station. We were number one. Now it's all Chinese. It's because it's in New York and there's a big Chinese population and it's doing very well broadcasting in Chinese. I have no idea what they're saying, but, you know, that's where I used to work. Yeah. But yeah.
That's,
so talk about this woman.
Greek
here.
To me too.
Yeah. Talk about this woman.
Okay. So, and I'm glad you brought this up. It's a Polish native, who emigrated to the U.S. and, in 2016, she came to, the Nakusa area. She's got a deli. It's called JB Polish and American Deli. She's in Nisida. It's on Main Street. So you can go there and go to this little deli, and you can get a sandwich and lunch, what have you. But it celebrates everything Polish. So there's a lot of... the color of Poland is red. There's a lot of red clothing in there. Zofia has a Polish library she keeps there for people to come in and, you know, take a book. And, you know, she'll trust you, bring the book back at some point. She came this way via Downers Grove, stopped in a Chicago area, she and her husband for a while, lived there, and her husband, Lester, got invited to go fishing up in Wisconsin near the Dells, fell in love with the area because the terrain here is a lot like in Poland, woods, lakes. It felt so much like, in the Four Seasons, it felt so much like Poland to her, the climate, that they decided to come to the area. When she found a Sunday Mass celebrated in Polish at St. Francis of Assisi, she decided, here's where I'm going to stay. So she's got the deli. She turned it into Polish food. She's got the library. And she set up a radio a studio with a mic. And she produces a Polish language show, and it airs on 106 FM in Adams Friendship. So all things Polish is going on there in Nisida, and go out there and visit Zofia. Now, when you buy some of the vinegar from her when you're going to make your pickles, she is sure to tell you that the Polish vinegar, she's got all imported stuff, the Polish vinegar is stronger, a little more acidic than the regular vinegar, so you need to adjust your pickle recipe if you're going to do it right.
By the way, it looks like it's near the Dells. Are we in that area, Baraboo, the Dells area with this?
Yeah, this is near the Dells. This is Wisconsin River. A little bit upstream from the Dells.
So if somebody wants to subscribe to Our Wisconsin Magazine, what's the best, fastest way to do it?
So the easiest way to do this is to make a quick toll-free phone call, and the number is 877-717-8925.
That's 877-717-8925. If you forgot it, go to the podcast later, and you can get that phone number again, 877-717-8925. I just renewed for 2 years, so I'm set.
I think God bless you, Don.
Yeah, you know, I just said every year this comes up. They're annoying me every year. I just do 2 years and get it out of my hair so I don't get those things in the mail.
That's what we recommend.
So I just did the 2-year renewal on it. It's Our Wisconsin Magazine. It's a high gloss magazine, and even the ads are great because it gives you ideas of what to do all across the state. The ads are just you know, especially the food ads, you just want to go in there and start licking the ads. You should do like one of those scratch and sniff ads in there. It's a great magazine. It's Our Wisconsin Magazine, and we're so lucky every issue, which it comes out every 2 months, is to have Mike Beno with us, who is the editor, and you don't call yourself the founder of it, but he's the guy. And it's a well-put-together magazine. Again, if you missed any of this broadcast, you can listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify. Go to WRJN.com. Just click on Don Rosen Show, and you'll see Hour 2 with today's date, and that will be the Mike Beno interview. Mike, thanks a lot. Hold on the line a second. Don't go anywhere, Mike. Don't forget, we've got the eclipse today. Let me give you the times one more time. Here in Racine, you'll see 91% maximum coverage. It begins at 12:52 p.m., the main event at 2:08 p.m., and then ends at 3:22 p.m. Wear special glasses, watch it on TV, do a pinhole camera, but don't look at it direct without eye covering, okay? Because they're not kidding you. They'll hurt your eyes. They'll knock you. Put your eye out. I'm Don Rosen. I'll catch you tomorrow once again, 6 a.m. bright and early here at Civic Media's WRJN Hometown Radio. Refreshed.